The following message was given by Brothers Aaron Yankowski and Isaac Chang in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 3rd, 2016. The title of the message is The Lord's Supper, The Need of Proving and Discerning. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34.
Speak through your body this morning. Amen. Speak through the functioning and measure of each one part.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you poor in spirit.
Amen.
We drop all our concepts and opinions.
Amen.
Everything we think that we know.
Amen.
Speak a fresh word to us this morning.
Amen.
Make our hearts the good ground.
Amen.
That your word could take root and grow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
You know, I don't know what your thought is when I walked up to the podium, but please, you know, I assure you that there was no one more surprised than myself when the brothers asked me to help to open the Word this morning. You know, I don't come up here as anything other than a brother among you. You know, under the headship of the Lord. Functioning, hopefully in measure, and as a servant of the Lord. You know, there's a lot in this section in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know if it's not so easy actually to bring out every single point. So I think there'll be three of us this morning to open. We'll just try and share a little bit about on what the Lord has impressed us and touched us with.
Amen.
And we trust that the Lord, as the coordinating one and as the one on the throne, will speak what's on his heart this morning.
Amen.
So my burden this morning is really very simple. I think it's just to see a little something. I was just very impressed this week just to see a little bit about what is the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
You know, in verse 20 of chapter 11, the breaking of the bread is referred to as the Lord's Supper. And this is actually different than in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, where it's referred to as the, and actually in 10:21, where it's referred to as the Lord's table. You know, the Lord actually convicted me. A lot of times in my reading of the Word, I'm not so fine or so careful. I don't know how many years I read through the book of 1 Corinthians. I read through these verses. I don't know how much, I know I didn't have that much impression. I didn't have that much impression, this difference between the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. And of course, on one hand, it's the same meeting, right? The breaking of the bread and the drinking. Sorry.
I'll just give you a hand real quick.
Amen.
And the drinking of the cup together. It's one meeting, but on the other hand, the Bible is, and the Lord is very detailed and fine. So if the Lord refers to in the Bible it's described as the Lord's table in one section and then the Lord's Supper in another section, surely we must endeavor to see why. Because otherwise they would just in the Bible it would just be the same term, right? Paul, there was a different burden and there was a different aspect of this of the table, of the breaking of the bread, and I was impressed just to see this. You know, I confess, for too long, my reading of the Word has been too superficial, and going through this section again really helped me to appreciate even how detailed and fine the Lord's Word is, and how our study and our appreciation and enjoyment of His Word also must be. It's not enough just to stay at the superficial level, but the Lord wants us to endeavor, to dig, and to go deeper. So what does this section tell us about the Lord's Supper? Well, in verse 24, it says that the purpose of the Lord's Supper is for the remembrance of me. It says, this do unto the remembrance of me. So this implies that eating the Lord's Supper should result in remembering the Lord and remembering Him. So, you know, even this word remember is significant, right? Because the implication of the word remember is that you once knew somebody, right? You already know somebody,
right.
But maybe you forgot, or maybe the memory faded a little bit, or anyway, there's been some distance or some time, and we need to remember. And I was considering, why would the Lord say this? Why would He? But I realized, well, I consider my own experience. Why is this necessary? Well, I have to confess, I know during the week I go to work, I go home, I'm with my kids. Sometimes I have to confess, I forget the Lord, right? In my living, in my experience, I can't say that all the time I remember the Lord. Of course, we should endeavor that we live according to the Spirit. But at least it's good in the Lord's Supper meeting that we would remember Him. You know, also when we remembered Him, in remembering Him, this would save us from being entangled in sin and the world. And even in remembering Him and what He accomplished for us, this would save us. This would even cause us to love all the brothers and sisters. If we really remember what He has done for us, How can we be those who would not forgive one another? So in verse 26, another purpose of the Lord's table meeting of the Lord's Supper, sorry, another purpose of the Lord's Supper is to declare the Lord's death until He comes.
Right.
What is this? To declare is to proclaim. He didn't say just to remember the Lord's death until He comes, but it says to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, right? To declare is to proclaim, and this even implies to others, right? You don't proclaim something just to yourself. So in the Lord's Supper, there's even this matter of the gospel, right? This is the proclaiming of what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
And we can even see this in the symbols, because the bread, which signifies the body, is separate from the cup, which signifies His blood. So this separation of the body and the blood is signifies the Lord's death.
Amen.
But actually, this is actually even so much more significant. Right, because the bread, which signifies the body, is the grain which has been ground up, and the cup, which is the fruit of the vine, is the grapes which have been pressed. Right, so this actually shows us, firstly, that in remembering the Lord, that this is what He went through. Right, He was not one who would save Himself, but He was one who was pressed.
Amen.
And as the grain divine, He died, right?
Amen.
So that we could be the many grains.
Amen.
And actually, in remembering the Lord, it's not just remembering, and this came out in the table meeting this morning, what happened historically, but it says to declare the Lord's death until He comes.
Amen.
So to remember Him, not just historically, but also to remember that He's coming. The Lord's Supper actually connects the Lord's first coming with His second coming. This is really quite something. Actually, saints, this is just God's economy.
Amen.
Right? Today, what is the Lord doing? The Lord is trying to prepare build up His body, trying to prepare the bride so that it would be ready, so that He could come and consummate this age. And the Lord's Supper, whenever we partake of this, should remind us and bring us back to this. In this way, we can see the Lord's Supper is actually something for God's enjoyment and satisfaction.
Amen.
And even in the whole book of 1 Corinthians, we can see The first 10 chapters of 1 Corinthians have to do with the Christian life, a lot of things to do with the relationships, with the matter of eating and marriage and all these things. But from chapter 11 onwards, there's a turn. And there's a turn. The rest of this book of 1 Corinthians has to do with what you could say is God's divine administration.
Amen.
It's what is God doing on the earth today? And so this is in contrast with the Lord's table. So the Lord's Supper, or you could say, how is this different than the Lord's table that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? So verse 16 and 17 in chapter 10 say, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread."
Amen.
So what are the key aspects of the Lord's table as we see in these verses? Well, the first one is fellowship, right? This relationship between the saints. We have a mutual fellowship one with another. Together with those who partaking of the there's not just an individual partaking of the blood of Christ, but there's a joint participation. And there's also this matter of the oneness, right? One bread, one body. So in this way, you can even say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this matter of the Lord's table is for our enjoyment.
Amen.
Right? So when we refer to the Lord's table, this has to do with our experience and our enjoyment. But when we refer to the Lord's Supper, this is something for God's satisfaction and God's enjoyment. And of course, I think it's our experience and our realization deep within when we partake of the table meeting like we did this morning. God is satisfied, and also we are satisfied.
Amen.
Right? And this is what's actually revealed here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. How would this affect us? So you could say, okay, so what does this mean? But this is actually, just seeing this is actually very practical as well. You know, actually, if we would understand the meaning of the table meeting, this would change our experience. Even this would deepen our appreciation for this meeting. This would affect, if we were to call a hymn, we would. This would affect the way that we consider what hymns to call, and even maybe you have a little, and this is sort of where I was, I think, for a long time. Maybe you have some understanding of this, at least on a mental level. So you say, okay, I only call hymns from a certain section of the hymn book, right? Because it has to do with praising the Lord or remembering Him. But actually, even this is not enough. Actually, because of the Lord's Supper is a meeting for the Lord's enjoyment and satisfaction, in every meeting, the Lord has a burden. In every meeting, the Lord has a message. In every meeting, the Lord has a line of enjoyment in the Spirit that He wants, that He needs us, though, as His body, to be sensitive to His leading so that He could bring it out. And so even in the calling of the hymns and the prayers, we need to be sensitive to the feeling of the anointing, the feeling of the Lord in our spirit. What is the Lord's burden in this Lord's in this meeting?
Amen.
This would even affect whether or not we would pray in the Lord's in the meeting, right? If we see that and this would affect the content of our prayer. We shouldn't just pray something general, but this would help us to pray something according to what is on God's heart, according to His burden. To even see this, I was also touched to see how the Lord's Supper, this connects the Lord's first coming and his second coming. And his first coming was for our redemption, but his second coming is to work out his purpose, his will. When we take the Lord's table, we care for our enjoyment. But when we take the Lord's Supper, we care for his remembrance and we care for his economy. So, you know, if we would really see this, we would realize that Lord, his satisfaction is dependent on his economy or his administration being carried out by him through his body today.
Amen.
Of course, he is the head, but the head has no way to act without the body.
Right.
And so today, the Lord needs us in order to work out what he wants to do on the earth.
Amen.
So for us actually to really give the Lord the best remembrance, we need to take care of the body, but we also need to give ourselves that the Lord could work, the Lord could have a way through us.
Amen.
Right? If we just come to the Lord's table meeting and then we forget him during the week, how much of a way does he have to work out what his burden is on the earth? But actually, the real enjoyment of the Lord's Supper results in this true remembrance of him. And this remembrance of him actually should affect our daily life. This remembrance of him shouldn't just be something that lasts for a few minutes or maybe a few hours on Lord's Day. But this remembrance of him actually is something that should influence how we live the whole week. So to remember him in this way is to carry out his administration until his return and until he brings his kingdom to the earth. I was just impressed and touched how superficial my understanding and my appreciation of the Lord's Supper and of the Lord's table had been up until now. Actually, this is not just something that's isolated to a few hours on the Lord's Day, but for us to really, if we were to really understand and appreciate it, this would affect all the decisions we make during the week.
Amen.
Right? What choices do we make? I mean, the examples are of course, there's so many to go through, but even during the week, whether we can make a meeting or not, whether we call a brother or not, even what we say, how we speak to our wife or our children or our family, this would affect our coordination in the services. Actually, there's not one aspect of our church life or our human living that actually would not be touched if we would really remember, really have the real remembrance of him in this way. Anyway, I have to say, I really appreciate, even though I've been through this book, the book of 1 Corinthians before, just to see how the Lord's Supper points us to God's economy. How the Lord's Supper reminds us to remember to live for the Lord and for his economy and for his kingdom.
Amen. Isn't it an encouragement? And isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
The terms table and supper are not arbitrary changes in terminology, but the table is that we have joint participation with the Lord, but the supper is for his satisfaction.
Amen.
That means we can have something in our daily living and in our worship of the Lord that brings satisfaction to our God.
Amen.
I just feel it's such a privilege to get to speak about this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, this section on the one hand is so encouraging, but actually, toward the end, there's a severe and very solemn warning. I'd like to read you the verse. It says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord.
Amen.
So what is it to eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner? What is that? Well, if you look at verses 28 and 29, it points out there's actually 2 points. One is that we don't prove ourselves, and two is that we don't discern the body.
Right.
Well, I'd like to say something first about discerning the body, then come back to proving ourselves. So discern the body, what is this? To answer that question, I think we first need to answer the question of why Paul was so adamant and why Paul was so strong concerning the problem of division. Not only in this section, but throughout this book, and even in other places in the New Testament. Why was this such an issue? I think probably the best place in the New Testament to get an answer to this question is to look at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is broken up into 2 sections. Chapters 1 through 3, and then chapters 4 through 6. Chapters 1 through 3 present a marvelous, perhaps the highest revelation in all of the New Testament concerning the church. Then chapters 4 through 6, the second half of the book, point out how do we live, make that vision practical, and make that vision realized in our daily living as the church. That is, what is the responsibility of the church to carry out that vision? So I have a couple verses that are kind of a survey of the first half of the book, and I'll point something out about the second half of the book. So chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ,
Amen.
The things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him."
Amen.
Then verses 1, 22 and 23 say, "And gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all."
Amen.
So God's plan is to head up all things in Christ, and His heading up of all things in Christ is to the church.
Amen.
Then chapter 3, verse 10 says that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church.
Amen.
Then finally, chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Unto Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations forever and ever. Amen." So just to summarize those verses, grab a piece of chalk here. God's plan is to head up.
Amen.
All things in Christ to the church.
Amen.
His plan with the church is that His wisdom
Amen.
Would be made known
Amen.
Through the church.
Amen.
And finally, He would be glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So that's a glorious, high, marvelous, and wonderful vision.
Amen.
But how is it carried out? How is it made real in our daily living? To find that out, we need to go to the second half of the book of Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6. So again, I would point you to the fact that the second half of the book of Ephesians shows us how we can live a life that matches and makes this high vision practical and real.
Amen.
So the very first point in Ephesians chapter 4 on this living, chapter 4 verses 1 through 3 say, "I, the prisoner in the Lord, I beseech you therefore to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called,
Amen.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Brothers and sisters, the very first point for our living out of the high vision concerning the church is that we keep the oneness. In order for Christ as the head to carry out all that is in his heart and his desire on the earth, he needs a body. If he does not have a body, he can't do what he wants. So just consider the picture. Every Monday morning, I have to get up and I have to get into my car. I have to drive to my job. And then at my job, I have a number of responsibilities I need to take care of. This may sound absurd, but how would that happen? If my arm were in one place, my leg and my foot in another, and then my tongue and my eyes in a completely different location. It's kind of a grotesque picture, but it makes the point. If my body isn't one, I can't do the things that I need to do.
Amen.
In the same way, if Christ's body is divided, there's no way that he can carry out all that's in his heart. So this oneness is the same oneness that the Lord Jesus prayed for in John 17. This is the oneness in Psalm 133, upon which his blessing is poured out.
That's right.
The blessing of life forevermore.
Amen.
And this is even the oneness that corresponds to Deuteronomy chapter 12. So then when we look at this term, not discerning the body, in 1 Corinthians 11, what is that? That means when we take that bread at the Lord's Supper, we need to consider, what does that bread represent? Does that bread represent the one divine, mystical body of Christ? Or does that bread represent a division? Well, brothers and sisters, when we discern the body in this way, we're making a strong declaration. We're making a declaration to the entire universe, a declaration before God, a declaration before man, and a declaration before God's enemy.
Amen.
That we are God's people,
amen,
standing on the earth,
amen,
with Christ as our head.
Amen.
That we are here to allow him to carry out everything that is in his heart.
Amen.
And that we would never be divided. So as we discern the bread, this is our heart. That bread doesn't represent merely some division of man. It doesn't represent division in spirit, but that bread represents the one divine mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is what it is to discern the body. And this is the warning from the Apostle Paul. Not only is God one in his nature, and that's just who he is. He's one, but he's three. He's three, but he's one. But also, without the oneness of the body of Christ, he will never carry out what is in his heart. So we need to discern the body. Going back to this other point of what it is to be unworthy in partaking of the supper is that we do not prove ourselves. So I'd ask you, what does this mean to prove ourselves? If you look at the footnote, it says, to prove ourselves is to examine ourselves. To put himself to the test and have himself approved, or herself, meeting the prescribed specifications. Well, when we read that, what is our consideration? Our first consideration may be something like what Paul, the apostle, said in Acts 24. I exercise myself to always have a conscience free of offense before God and man. Well, that's absolutely correct. But actually, according to the context of this chapter, it's incomplete. And actually, it falls short of the revelation of the entire New Testament. Remember, God's not looking for mere Christians who complete themselves with a good conscience, who live a proper way. That's good, but it falls short. Actually, the New Testament talks so much about our relationship with one another. How are we related to our fellow Christians? What is our attitude toward our brothers and sisters? Actually, the New Testament is full of this. There's so many places. But there's three portions of the word I wanted to present to you about this. And that's Matthew chapter 18, John chapter 13, and Galatians chapter 6. So I have three words for you. Forgive. Love. And bear. So I just want to read you these portions of the scripture. You don't have to read it with me. Just follow along and I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So here Peter had a question for the Lord. The Lord provided him an answer, but he didn't stop there. He went on and presented a parable to illustrate the point. For this reason, the kingdom of the heavens has become like a king who desired to settle his accounts with his slaves. And he came and began to settle with them. One who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to pay, the master commanded him to be sold, as well as his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. Now I'd point out, it doesn't say this was a common man to the master. This one was actually a slave. So the implication there is not the forgiveness of sins before one is saved, but all the sins we accumulate after we have received the Lord as our Savior. Certainly you consider, I don't need to point out, I look at myself. How many times have I wronged the Lord? How many times have I wronged the brothers and sisters and needed the cleansing of the blood since I was saved? This is an important point. It's not the sins before, it's the sins after. Then the slave fell down and worshipped him, saying, be patient with me, and I will repay you all. And the master of that slave was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the loan. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And I'd point out that's less than 1/10,000th of what he was forgiven. Far less. And he took hold of him and began to choke him, saying, repay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and begged him, saying, be patient with me, and I will repay you. But he would not. Instead, he went away and threw him into prison until he would repay what was owed. Then his fellow slaves, seeing what had taken place, were greatly grieved and came and explained fully to their master all that had taken place. So this represents the fellow brothers and sisters that saw what was going on between two saints. And so they prayed to the Lord about the matter and brought it to his attention. Then his master called to him and said to him, evil slave, all that debt I forgave you because you begged me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his master became angry and delivered him to the torturers until he would repay all that was owed. So also will my heavenly Father do to each of you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your hearts. So of course, delivering to the torturers here, that does not mean that we lose our salvation, but that means that we could lose the reward of the kingdom of the heavens by the way we treat our brothers and sisters. This is a solemn warning. Brothers and sisters, as the Lord forgave us, we need to forgive one another. Amen. Then John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. They say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Amen. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the fact that you love one another. Amen. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, for the love of God has been poured out on in our hearts through His Spirit who has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, the love of God lives in our hearts.
Amen.
And when we love one another with the love of God, this is actually the church life.
Amen.
Oh, may we love one another.
Amen.
Finally, Galatians 6:2, which says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ completely."
Amen.
To bear one another's burdens, this is the practical living out of the love of God within us for one another.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, to prove ourselves is not only to merely care for our conscience, but it's to forgive one another.
Amen.
It's to love one another.
Amen.
And it's to bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
May we be those who partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy way.
Amen.
Proving ourselves and discerning the body.
Amen.
Amen.
I really enjoyed our brother's fellowship. And in the world, when we have issues, we say, let's bring it to the table. That table is a negotiation table. That's where you settle your scores. But the Lord's table is different. This table, He has already settled all the scores, not only with the enemies, but also with the Father. He fulfilled all the righteous requirements, everything needed, required by the law from the Father. He fulfilled all of that. And that table is a testimony of what He has accomplished. So even for the saints, just to summarize our brother's one point, is before we come to the table, actually the Lord's table, I like the Chinese translation, it's called the Lord's feast. Yeah, Lord's table is a Lord's feast. To come before the Lord, the key word is enjoyment. He has done everything. He has accomplished everything. And all our debts were forgiven. I'm glad you quoted in Matthew 18. It's all forgiven. And even the saints, before we come to the table, the proving, there are many aspects, but one thing is forgiving. And we have to settle our scores with each other before the Lord, before we come to participate in the Lord's table. So the Lord's table is truly what the Lord spread it before us and before the enemies, demons, principalities, the devil. He has taken care of all of those. And that table is His victorious invitation table.
Amen.
And for us to come and to enjoy what He has accomplished. And to make Him the happiest Lord in the universe. Because for us, the redeemed ones, through what He has accomplished, is come to enjoy. And that makes Him full of joy.
Amen.
In English, there's another idiom. It's called no free lunch. And here, it's a supper. There's no free supper either. This morning, we took it very, solemnly. This morning, we enjoyed it. We sing Him. We give praises. But this supper is our host. Our host's enjoyment. Our Lord has done everything and conquered all the vanquished foes like us and brought us to the Father. And the Father given to Him as the gifts to build up the body of Christ and to give Him as the church. And our brother quoted Ephesians 1:22-23. Let's particularly 22. I want to read it again. Ephesians 1. Let's read it together. And He subjected all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The church, brothers and sisters, that's where we are now, is the body of Christ. The head has accomplished everything to produce the body. And now he desires through the body and to fulfill all his heart desire and to usher in the kingdom of the heavens. So for all these verses, brothers and sisters, once we come before the Lord, enjoying the table and satisfying him with his supper, we need to know he has purposes in us. He has processes not finished yet, and he has goals yet to be fully realized. And there's some new ones here. I want to read one portion to you. This is when we talk about the gospel. You know, some of you were saved. Many times we say the gospel is the good news, but the gospel includes much more. The gospel includes what we enjoyed this morning, what we're testifying before the table, where we try to cooperate with the Lord to fulfill his goal with his supper. When we say the gospel of grace, many times we preach the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Because in this portion, the administration, the kingdom of God has to be realized. So here, this portion I read to you, the gospel of the kingdom, which includes the gospel of grace, brings people not only into God's salvation, but also into the kingdom of the heavens. The gospel of grace emphasizes forgiveness of sin, God's redemption, and eternal life. Whereas the gospel of the kingdom emphasizes the heavenly ruling of God. The gospel of the kingdom emphasizes the heavenly ruling of God and the authority of our Lord. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of this age. Hence, that preaching, this preaching, signified by the white horse of the first seal in Revelation 6, will be a sign of the consummation of this age. That's what the Lord, when he established the table, he said, I will not drink this product of the grape, the wine, until I will drink it anew in the coming kingdom, in the coming kingdom of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this enjoyment should usher us into the heavenly ruling of the kingdom. Amen. And also brings us under the ruling and authority of our God. Brothers and sisters, I'll quote two more portions. I'll finish this, my fellowship. When Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, this is one of the Old Testament, Old Testament books, in chapter 1, by the end, when he saw all the visions, by the end, to consummate what he saw in chapter 1, he said, and above the expanse that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Was a likeness of a throne, like the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was one in appearance like a man above it. Brothers and sisters, from the Old Testament to the New Testament age, from eternity past to eternity future, our God is establishing his kingdom and governing on his throne. Like the appearance of the rainbow that is in the cloud on a day of rain, such was the appearance of the brightness all around. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. Brothers and sisters, when we really begin to realize the meaning and the significance of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, we really need to come before the Lord, not only remembering what he has done, not only in remembrance of what he accomplished, not only declaring what his death is, his resurrection and his ascension and his coming back. We need to really fall to our face. Lord, I'm willing to give it all. I'm willing to be submissive under your authority, under your ruling. Lord, you have led the way to be completely submissive before the Father. Now, Lord, you're leading us today. We're willing to be completely submissive before the throne. Of course, in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, what happened to John? He was raptured to the heavenlies, to saw the throne, saw the one sit on the throne, saw the rainbow surrounding the throne, saw the 24 elders casting their crown before the throne. That is a type, brothers and sisters, we need to see. Is today the Lord, through what he accomplished, through what he's trying to do, is trying to govern, rule everything through his church. But is his church cooperating fully to his plan, his economy, or his kingdom requirements? Saints, we brothers, we hope we all, in the coming days, whenever, whatever you had a score with, whatever your trouble is, however you forget, you remember. But before every Lord's Day, first of all, for the newly saved ones, we hope you treat the Lord's Day meeting as the most significant gathering. It's a required gathering from our Lord. Amen. This do as a remembrance of him. We hope the new ones come every Lord's Day. And we also hope all the senior ones, or all those saved for a while, begin to know the church a little more. We really need to re-examine before the Lord's table to cleanse ourselves with his blood, but also declaring his death has taken care of all the troubles, all the conflicts, every negative things. And we're declaring this, he is victorious over all the enemies. Amen. And before the table, come to the supper, really with a consecrating heart. Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're trying to do. We are willing. I'm willing to give it all for your purpose. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for you to give everything for us. Now for your purpose, I'm willing to give it all. And Lord, anything tumultuous within my heart, anything struggling, anything not pleasing you, not making you satisfied before the supper table, I'm willing to give it up. Lord, for your purpose, for your coming of the kingdom.
Amen.
I like to be part, of this display, to be part of the reality of this display, to be part of the building up of the church, to be a part of the body. Amen. So brothers and sisters, really this portion, we spent 3 weeks talking about really from chapter 10 to now. We do hope not only we know the meaning, not only know the significance, not only participating in the fellowship, but are also willing to give all, just like our Lord, what he has done. Give our all to the church. Give our all for the coming kingdom. Give everything for his body, for the building up of his body. May the Lord truly bless his church, not only in New York City, but bless his churches all over the earth for the building up of the body, to receive him back, to even haste his coming back. So this is a really his satisfaction. His satisfaction is not only in time and space for us to come before him, but to come with a heart longing for his coming back, longing for his kingdom to rule through his church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
We praise you for your table you established.
Amen.
We praise you for your invitation before your supper.
Amen.
We know you have a heart desire not yet fulfilled.
Amen.
We know your kingdom needs to be realized.
Amen.
Lord, today may you exercise your authority,
Amen.
Your ruling and dominion
Amen.
In us, Lord,
Amen.
In your church. So you can have a dominion over all the earth
Amen.
Through your church.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for opening the words for us,
Amen.
For expounding the vision to us,
Amen.
And to lead us into the practice and the realization
Amen.
Of your table and your supper.
Amen.
Lord, may your kingdom come.
Amen.
Oh, may your will be done
Amen.
On this earth.
Amen.
As in heavenlies.
Amen.
Praise your glorious name.
Amen.
Amen.
And to get into it. But we all know, right? So we have many things to declare in the Lord's table in his death.
Amen.
Then who should declare? Well, this verse says plainly, you declare.
Amen.
Not just the brother sitting up here, not just the sister sitting. You, whether you are newly saved, or whether you've been saved many, many years, you declare.
Amen.
Oh, you may say, well, I don't know what to declare. Well, the Spirit knows what to declare. We just need to exercise our spirit, and the Spirit declares in our declaring.
Amen.
Do you have the Spirit of reality?
Yes.
Then you know what to declare. So who declares? You declare. Then how to declare? I don't know. A lot of us don't buy newspapers anymore, but on the newspaper, the bigger the news, the bigger the letters on the front page.
Amen.
So, how big is the news? That it is finished,
Amen.
That God's economy is being accomplished. That is big news. We need to declare it loudly.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord for the declaration in the Lord's Supper. This is what we need to declare. We need to declare the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
May the Lord uplift our practice week by week. Amen.
Amen.
Who's next?
Is this on? Okay, anyway, there's a Christian at my job, and she meets with this congregation, and I asked her to describe her congregation, and it's filled with older people. And it seems over time, her congregation is getting smaller and smaller. There's nothing wrong with gray hair. I have gray hair, and there's nothing wrong with me. You know what I mean? But I'm filled with hope this morning when I heard our brother share that the church has a bright future. You know? And we are not like that other ladies' congregation filled with old people and getting smaller, right? God's family has brothers and sisters of all ages. Praise the Lord. I appreciated what the brother shared this morning, that if we, basically what I got this morning is if we get into the reality of the Lord's table, it will affect our daily living. One important piece of our daily living is how we treat the other saints. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a little beef with certain saints, and I'm an accountant, so, you know, I kind of keep score, and I'll go to the meeting, but I'm not warm and fuzzy toward that one, and I kind of remember, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad that Brother Aaron brought out those verses in Matthew 18 about what makes our Heavenly Father happy and what makes our Heavenly Father unhappy. If I have a beef with somebody, then I need to just let it go. Like Brother Peter said, come before the Lord's meeting, Lord's table, and in the morning, take care of everything and just realize that the Lord's death took care of all of those negative things. And I need to go before the Lord and just let go and forgive. You know what I mean? Because if I don't forgive, my Heavenly Father's not going to forgive me. And he's going to be really unhappy. Praise the Lord. We can make our Heavenly Father happy. We can enjoy the Lord. We can lift up his name. And we can give him enjoyment every Lord's Day morning. Praise the Lord. And it, you know, like Brother Isaac said, it affects our daily living. It's not just for a few minutes, not for a few hours on the Lord's Day, but it's Monday to Friday. How we talk to our kids, how we talk to our wife, and how we deal with the saints. Praise the Lord. You know, the Christian life is such a practical life. It's not putting on something from the outside. It's enjoying the Lord's life. And when we obey the Lord's speaking, we will treat other people the way that makes him happy. We will bring glory to the Lord in our behavior and in our treatment of others. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I really enjoy today's fellowship, you know, regarding the Lord's table and Lord's supper. Somehow I feel, you know, the vision more clear to me. The first thing I enjoy is God's economy. And this economy can be accomplished through his table. And this table connect his first coming and the second coming. And however, like Brother mentioned, you know, during the sharing here, this only will happen to connect the two comings if we realize the significance on this table. It means when we really affect our daily living, then the Lord can accomplish the economy through this table. Our Lord desire to be the head of the body, and the body need to be in oneness. And only by eating and drinking this bread and this cup, we can be one. And only when we also eat the Lord during the week, we can be one. Only when we, you know, forgive one another, we love one another, we bear one another, then it can be real to us. Amen. I just touch you about how wonderful through this gathering we can remember the Lord. And we can continue to remember the Lord when we take it how we eat, how we drink. On the Friday nights, Brother shared regarding the exercising our spirit and our heart from the young people at the conference. And the key is regarding our heart and our spirit linked to the God's economy. So we all talk about the same message, but why we need to exercise? But because they mentioned about doing our daily living, there's so many, like I said, our heart is like the flypaper. Actually, not many people know about the flypaper. The sticky things, you know, track the fly to touch it, and will be kind of stuck there. It's our heart like a flypaper. Anywhere we go, when we work, we see some kind of advertisement stuck on our heart. We do other things stuck on our heart. So our heart has no room for the Lord. Like we need to exercise our heart and our spirit. Then we can connect to the Lord for his economy. I also feel the same way when we come to the table. If we take care of eating and drinking, not only on the Lord's Day, but on our daily living, then the Lord really can have the oneness, have such manifestation to let His kingdom come. His will be done through the way we take care of one another, take care how we come to Him to enjoy the table. Because when we say you come to the love feast, it's not just you just come empty-handed, right? You need to come with something in your hand, with your enjoyment during the week. So if we enjoy the Lord during the week, when we take care of one another, we call this brother, call that sister, we wait for one another. You know, the waiting means if you are in certain stage in your Christian life, you will bring other people to eat the same food, same enjoyment. Now when we come together, we have the more rich enjoyment. Like today, three brothers share. I just see more light. I just really appreciate, you know, we can come together, enjoy the Lord, and we have the vision uplifted. We take care of our living and take care of our drinking and eating during the week. And then when we come together, we can enjoy the Lord in a richer way. And then Lord can have such a one manifest to the whole universe. He will come again. Because I know He desired to come unless He get His body in such oneness, such a testimony to the universe, He cannot come. So it's the burden on our shoulder, but it's not depend on us. It depends how we eat the Lord, drink the Lord during the week. Amen.
You know, something at the beginning of the meeting, our brother prayed, "Thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we talk about the Lord's second coming a lot today. It's very enjoyable to see three brothers there, and actually four, five, six. A lot of brothers got up and shared. And I really enjoyed the body. You know, the Lord is rich to all. And the Lord is not going to stop at one or two or three people. All of us need to rise up. And what I enjoy is, oh Lord Jesus, so many points, is the Lord's coming can be realized at this moment. At any moment, the Lord's coming can be now. Whenever we obey the Lord, you know, when the Lord says something to you, you react to it. You obey it, whether it's through bearing or through loving. It's just the Lord's body is exhibited in our heart. His kingdom is right here when we obey the Lord. Amen. Yesterday they had a gospel meeting, and one of the brothers was saying that, you know, we are the heirs of the vipers, you know, and we were born, actually Brother Peter said something about genetically altered when we were saved. Before we were saved, we were in the Garden of Eden, right? The serpent came and changed our nature. We had the sin indwell us. And then when the Lord Jesus came, we were regenerated. And you know, some of the examples they use, whether it be jealousy, envious, hatred, anger, all those things are the nature of the serpent, of the sinful nature. And I just feel like all the negatives that we go through in our life is an opportunity to gain the Lord, to an opportunity for us to say no to Satan and say amen to the Lord. And when we do that, the Lord's coming is in our heart. You know, I don't know how much longer I can live. And most of the younger generation, you're gonna live much longer than me, at least. But my point is, if I go see the Lord today, okay, I'm not ready. So every opportunity during the week, when the issue comes, remember, the Lord loves us. That's why there's an issue. He wants to transform us. He wants to turn us to that other life. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I just appreciate that the Lord's table is not every day, because it gives me time to repent. It gives me time to stew over the things that was not so easy ironed out. You know, but our heart of the Lord should be every moment.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just appreciating we're at a certain point in church history, you know, in remembering the Lord at the Lord's table. You know, when you read about the situation in Corinth, the believers there, okay, the believers there, they remembered the Lord during a physical supper, you know, a corporate meal together, and eventually that meal came to be called the love feast or the agape, you know. So I was reading somewhere that at some point in church history there was some edict that said they shouldn't do that anymore. But when you read the story about the Corinthians, you know, in for some reason, you know, for whatever reason, the love feast kind of had degenerated to such an extent that it somehow obscured the significance of the Lord's, of remembering the Lord at the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. You know, somehow their practice of this physical supper obscured it, because it says like in verse 21, each one takes his own supper first. You know, I mean, actually, for you know, to put your own self first like that, right? Just to put your own self first, almost that is, you know, falls under the category of not discerning the body. You know, I mean, not proving yourself. You know, it's almost just to put yourself first is to do something in an unworthy manner. You know. You know, so, you know, and actually there, so that's why Paul said when you come together, it's not for better, but for worse, you know, just because of their practice, you know. He says in verse 22, you know, their actions were boiled down to, this is quite serious, you know, do you despise the church of God, you know? So, I mean, anyways, you know, I don't know if we had like a corporate meal together and then the Lord's Supper, if we could fall into the same trap, you know, but we're at a certain point in church history, we come together in a way just to remember the Lord. Amen. There's, you know, we see the symbols on the table, you know, I mean, I just think I have to thank the Lord for the place in church history where I live. You know, we remember the Lord week by week. This is a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing, you know. Amen. I mean, in this we follow the brethren, you know. I mean, we didn't originate this, but I mean, at least the brethren practice this way, you know. I don't know who else does, but, you know, they gather together out of different denominations just to remember the Lord in oneness for the sake of the oneness of his body, for the sake of the Lord's testimony. Yes. So, there was actually a time in church history that some were martyred because they wanted to take the cup as well as the bread. You know, I mean, that was John Huss. You know, you could read about that. He was a forerunner of the Protestant Reformation. But what we enjoyed today has been dearly bought, you know. And I thank the Lord that we have this wonderful way to remember him week by week, right? And to declare his death until he comes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to try. Not so easy, but something I heard last night really, really helped me, you know. Like the brother mentioned in the beginning, we have these two terms, the Lord's table and the Lord's supper. And I never understood what the difference was or even if there was a difference, you know. But I really appreciated the light that we got in the ministry. In between these two terms, there's the insertion about the head covering. And I felt like, head covering? What's that doing here? You know what I mean? But nothing is by accident in the Bible. The Lord's table points to our remembrance of him and our enjoyment of him and our appreciation for his redeeming us, right? For our redemption. Then in the middle, there's this matter of head covering, which talks about taking him as the Lord. So now we're moving into his administration. You know what I mean? His kingdom. He's the boss. Is he the boss or is he not the boss? Is it just about our enjoyment or does he need something also? So I really appreciate, you know, the head covering. Man is the head of the woman, right? And Christ is the head of man. And God is the head of the whole, of everyone, of Christ, of the whole universe. If everything is headed up properly, there's no problem. Then thy kingdom can come, right? But when we say kingdom, as Brother Benjamin used to mention all the time, that implies there's a king. Is he really our king? You know what I mean? Are we obeying him in our daily life? Are we one with him in our daily life? Is he really our Lord? If he is, then as the second brother mentioned, he can move through the body. He can move through the body. There's no problem with the head. He's perfect. He's wonderful. The problem is often with the body. We don't cooperate with the head, so he can't have his movement on the earth the way he wants. So how can his kingdom come? So I just really appreciated that. You know, there's the dear sister who used to meet with us. She's in Georgia, and she had a stroke. Her mind is fine, but her body doesn't cooperate with her. She's paralyzed, right? And the Lord just brought that picture to me. I am fine and well, but every time I give an order to the member of the bodies, is it going, you know? So it applies to our daily life, the small things that the Lord talks to us about, one another, about everyone you deal with, not just one another, but absolutely in the body, right? Discerning the body, keeping the oneness, and staying one with the Lord and one with one another. And it just, we have to keep the oneness with the Lord. This way he can rule that. Then it goes to big things. Otherwise, how do you go to Germany to preach the gospel? The Lord is moving. He needs someone to cooperate with him. But how fast we move with him and how 100% cooperative we are is how we will accelerate his return, because he'll have his ruling on the earth as it is in heaven.
Between the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, it is something that you cannot separate. They go hand in hand. You cannot say that you are fulfilling the Lord's Supper and you're leaving out the Lord's table. And I think of God knowing the intent of our hearts, and this is where we are disciplined when we take the bread and the wine in an unworthy manner, because he knows our hearts and he searches our hearts. So we can't say that we are pleasing him in one and we're not pleasing him in the other. And that is why, so it cannot be separated, and we need to truly prove ourselves. Because when we come before God, our conscience needs to be clear. Clear before God and clear before man. So they go hand in hand. And it talks about you do so, declare the Lord's death until he comes. There's no gap in between, you know, because if we partake of the bread and the wine, we remember his death, we have to remember his coming also. Amen. So that space in between, what do we do? We have to live that life that is pleasing to him. Amen. You know, it is one body. We have to love each other. Amen. And stand with each other. Amen. So we have to always discern the body, right, so that we could live in harmony and be God's representative here on earth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed the word this morning. It really uplifted my appreciation for the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. I almost sort of wish I could have heard this before I had the table this morning, right? Because I would have enjoyed it more. But it really shows me that I need to have a higher appreciation of this meeting. And even just the distinction between the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, they're not separate, but they are two different aspects of the same thing. One concerning the Lord's satisfaction, which is the most important, and one also showing our satisfaction. On the side of the Lord's table, I just appreciated that when we come together and we're taking of the bread and we're enjoying the Lord, this should be a representation of what our daily life is like. This should be something that we are experiencing every day, that we are eating the Lord, that we are drinking the Lord, that we're being infused with his life. I really enjoyed David's sentiment in the 23rd Psalm. You know, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. But in verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my adversaries." You know, when you go to war, you don't usually break out and have a feast while you're fighting. But often I feel like that during my day, whether the enemy or the adversary is another person or just anxiety or just something that rises up, there's a table spread before us. We can come to that table and we can enjoy the Lord. When we come together in oneness, this is what we're declaring. that we have been given access to the Lord. We've been given access to his life. And, you know, even from the perspective of the Lord's Supper, I'm kind of reminded of the woman at the well in John 4. You know, we always kind of think of us being her, right, because she was thirsty. But that conversation was initiated by the Lord, who first asked her for a drink. And this shows us that our God is thirsty. He desires for us to enjoy him. And even later on in that chapter, he expresses that he had food to eat, which was to do the will of the Father. Right? So the Lord, he's thirsty and hungry for us to enjoy him and to do his will. And I just enjoyed these 3 points here from his perspective. This table is declaring that he is heading up the universe through the church, that his wisdom is being declared through the church, and even that he's being glorified through the church. So I really enjoy that when we come together and we take the table, it is a display to the entire universe of what the Lord has done, and that he is accomplishing it, and that it's going to happen, and that we've been privileged to be a part of that. So praise the Lord that we can enjoy this table, and that we can even have the understanding of what these things really mean.
Praise the Lord. I was before the Lord whether I should share this or not. This morning, the speaking of to proving ourselves is to forgive, to love, and to bear. Something happened to me about 10 years ago. It was very hard to bear, hard to forgive, and hard to love. A young brother called me over and really cut me into pieces. Okay, I should make a story short. And I said, Lord, I had a hard time in coming to the Lord's table because of this. I fellowship with some saints. And the wound was very hard to be healed. And I just didn't know how to take the Lord's table because, Lord, I want to forgive, but I cannot. The Lord asks us, demands us to forgive the way he forgave us. He died on the cross where we were yet sinners. And we were yet enemies of God. He loved us. But on the other hand, this very life entered into us. And this very life that we have came with that very love. That is the same love that loved us while we were yet sinners and enemies of God. So for this life to be real to me, I said to the Lord, it's much easier if that person would apologize. Definitely, it's so much easier to forgive and forget about the thing. But the thing is that we are all in the body of Christ. We are all in the church. And yet this thing happened, and there was no apology, and there was even further, Lord Jesus. Anyway, it took me a long time, but I just hang on to the Lord. Day by day, moment by moment. You know, sometimes you're wounded, it's not easy for that wound to heal. It takes time, but the Lord is merciful. You know, I just remember words shared to me, unforgiven offenses will eventually take you out of the church life. And also another thing is ambition will definitely take you out of the church life. These two registered in my heart. So I just said to the Lord, I don't want to bear any unforgiveness, but I cannot forgive. Just be very honest to the Lord. You know, I myself have a very forgetful mentality. This is my one handicap. Lord, I'm grateful for that, but on another hand, it's not good for preaching gospel when you forget people's name. And it's not good to shepherd the young people when you forget their name or forget their business. So, but with this, how come I cannot forget? Lord Jesus, you are the forgetting element within us. And you're the forgiving one within my being. Just by hanging on to the Lord, coming to the meetings, endeavor to enjoy the Lord in every meeting in my personal time with the Lord. You know, eventually I really had forgotten, but today the Lord reminded me to share this. I don't know why, but I don't know any one of you have the same experience as I did, but praise the Lord. He's the one who builds up the body. Yeah. When he builds up the body, all these things, all these negative things have to go. Yeah. But we cannot erase it ourselves. Right. We cannot do it ourselves. Right. But I encourage you all to stay in the church. Amen. To stay under the ministry. And to stay hanging on with the Lord in your personal life. Amen. Lord, the Lord's table is wonderful. Reminding us of what the Lord has done for us. Oh, reminding us what the Lord's purpose is. His purpose is to build up the body of Christ. If we have any unforgiven offenses, the body of Christ cannot be built up. If my arm is met at this arm, that's terrible, right? But praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your life in every one of us. Your life is a building life. Your life, it's the one that carries out your purpose within all of us for your satisfaction. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. He has a purpose today. He has a goal. That's to build up his body. Oh, to bring in his kingdom. When we see this, then we realize we also have to cooperate. You know, I never saw this so clearly until today. You know, today I have such a fresh appreciation for the Lord's table and his supper. You know, this is for our mutual satisfaction. But beyond that, to go beyond that, you know, I just have to say these two words, to prove ourselves, to walk worthily of his calling. This is a daily walk, to walk worthily of his calling, but also to discern the body, to be in oneness, to being diligent, to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace, to see the mystical body. What the Lord is doing on this earth today, this one is the head, and we are his body. We would see this clearly. We would see how it can influence our daily life on a daily basis, what we would do and how we would behave and how we would see, you know, things in a clear way. But to be able to forgive. Sometimes it's easy to forgive, but it's not easy to forget. But only the Lord can do this in us, and he can. The head is victorious. So the body will be victorious. Oh, Lord Jesus, just to see that this one is in the heavenlies ruling, and to see the divine administration and how we are part of this. We have a part to cooperate with him, to be willing to give all to him. Oh, for his building, we give all. Praise him.
I really appreciated these two aspects of the Lord's table and the Lord's supper. On the one hand, we have the Lord's table, which is for our satisfaction. But on the other hand, we have the Lord's Supper, which is for the Lord's satisfaction. And even, not only for the Lord's satisfaction, but for him to accomplish his purpose, to carry out his economy, to head up all things, which begins with the church, that he needs to be head in the church. And I really, even this matter of proving ourselves and discerning the body, this underscores the fact that this is not something that is just on the Lord's Day when we have the Lord's Supper, but this is something that reflects our week. And you know, it's quite serious to bear this,
to receive this charge, to forgive one another, to love one another, to bear one another. But the Lord reminded me that we should not lose sight of this first aspect of the Lord's table. We are not without the supply to do this. Praise the Lord for the Lord's table. Amen. The Lord knows where we are. Even in the Gospel of John, we see that the Lord God became a man to meet man's need in so many different aspects. He knows where we are, he knows our need, and he came to meet our need so that his need could be met. So brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for the table. And praise the Lord for the fact that this supply, we need to avail ourselves of this supply during the week. Amen. We need to avail ourselves of the Lord's blood, to take the blood. And we also have to avail ourselves of the Lord's life, which he released on the cross. Amen. You know, these wounds that sometimes, just being with one another, there's a lot of friction, there's a lot of offenses, and it's hard to forgive. But we need to be those who are open to the Lord. I just appreciated how our brother last week made this so practical, that the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, they're something spiritual. We may not remember all these points. We may not know how to apply all these points. But we need to be those who are before the Lord and with an exercised spirit. When we're before the Lord, there's the supply of the blood, and there's a supply of the water. Amen. When we are unable to meet the requirements of the law, praise the Lord for this, the blood of the new covenant. Amen. Where it's not the law of the letters, but it's the law of the spirit of life. Amen. When we're unable to love, we're unable to forgive, when we're unable to bear one another, we just open to the Lord and say, Lord, this is where I am. Amen. I need more of your supply. Amen. And the Lord is faithful to flow more of his life. Amen. To meet that supply. Praise the Lord, with the highest demand, there is the highest supply to meet that demand. Amen. And this is how we live day by day. Amen. And when we fall short, praise the Lord that we have the Lord's table week by week. Amen. To remind us of the Lord, of what he has done, of the supply that he has, it is finished. Everything has been accomplished. We just have to avail ourselves of what the Lord has done. And then when we eat and drink of the Lord, then the Lord gains a true remembrance, where we are automatically headed up and the Lord becomes the head, and we are his body, and he is able to accomplish what is on his heart. And we give the Lord the true satisfaction. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. I have realized that none of us are worthy of the Lord's table. But in his mercy, he allows us to come to the table. And at the Lord's table, that's where all the healings and all the transformation takes place. And we should never get discouraged to bring one another to the table and remain around the Lord's table and sustain each other, support each other. Because today, I'm so happy that the progress my son has made right here at the Lord's table. And at the beginning, it wasn't easy. Every Sunday morning, it was a fight. And dragging them to the Lord's table. And thank to Sister Irene also, who persevered for years, calling him every morning or every evening after school. Sometimes in the beginning he would hide, and Sister Irene would call the house phone. And I said, here is Sister Irene, she's calling you. Oh, tell her I'm not here. But at the end, he really comply and continue worshiping with Sister Irene. And I really praise the Lord that Sister Irene never get discouraged. And through the years, she was there with him. And guess what, Saint? My son today is in Germany visiting the camps of the Syrians and preaching the gospel to them. And every day he texted me to tell me where he visited and how he's meeting with the saints. What a glorious move the Lord has made. And it, oh my God, I can't even express it. So saints, let's never get discouraged to be at the table in the united bond of Christ and support each other to remain at the Lord's table. Amen.
Last week, my family spent time in the Peñuel, the camp, and I really encourage all of you to go if you have not. There's a young people conference there, I really thank Lord for putting those serving ones in the body. And young people, they feel very, they receive the life of the Lord. In Peñuel, we see the God face to face. Amen. And one of the messages is really about to impress young people the inward and hidden part of the inward and the hidden parts of the body. As you all know, our mind, will, and emotion comprise the soul life, and the spirit has three parts, includes conscious, fellowship, and intuition. And our heart has four parts. It's the entire three parts of soul, the mind, will, and emotion, and the conscious, which is part of the spirit. So what I learned, which impressed me very much, is really when we exercise the spirit, before we exercise our spirit, we need to turn to our heart. And sometimes we feel there's a wall between us and the Lord. It's because we have not dealt with our heart yet. And I think the brother mentioned in the Young People Conference, we cannot bypass the conscious and just go straight to fellowship with the Lord. Amen. We have to deal with our conscious. Amen. And sometimes even for myself, when I pray to the Lord, say, oh Lord, I turn my heart to you, I love you, I feel very, there's no flow of the spirit, because something happened in our life, we dig a lot of dirt to our heart, and we haven't confessed our sins yet. So I'm really impressed by the message in Young People Conference. As a parent, I feel I have been washed. And I've been dealing with some in-laws relationship in my family. So I was really stumbled upon it. So I was asking Lord, why would you put me in this situation? You know, I feel I have no, I think I have done my part, but there's on their part, I feel I'm being offended. But I think, really, Lord, shine light on me. This is the time to deal with you, not deal with your in-laws. So another message brothers mentioned, when we confess our sin, sometimes we will say, oh, it's so-and-so started. Even though I'm a sinner, that person has even worse sinner, even worse. So our brother said, the Lord really wants to deal with us in our own situation. And Lord will not shed other sins to free us, have a free ride. So I just want to share this with the saints. To keep the oneness in the body, I think each one of us needs to really exercise our spirit, turn our heart to the Lord, and really confess our sins. I think that will really help us to experience His salvation. Amen.
Notice the last testimony shows that last week only shared about the conscience, but our brother sharing today, if you listen carefully, was just confessing, just have a conscience void of offense is not sufficient. We still need the forgiving, and we still need the love, and we still need the bear. Okay, So I hope I don't want you to leave it with the last testimony, because that was still not complete. As you heard Irene's testimony, I think it deeply touched all of us.
Right.
That if we cannot, if we always have the unforgotten offenses, that will eventually drive people out of the body. And I also want to tell this, okay, all those who share, check on the verses, show the verses, I hope you pay attention to the burden of the sharing. In other words, the burden of the sharing this morning very much is on proving himself and discerning the body. Do you understand that? I mean, so in fact, if you heard these testimonies, mostly were focused on these two points. Therefore, I hope those who are showing the verses be very sensitive, showing these verses when somebody mentioned these verses, okay? I almost want to get up to say, show those verses. Show those verses. The saints are touched by it. So let the saints know what touched them. And you know, this is why I think it is very important to do so, because actually 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 refer to the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper has been shared before. But it seems as if it was still new with the saints. It just shows how difficult it is to see that distinction. Even all those saints, you must notice that the brothers sharing mostly is on chapter 11, which is on Lord's Supper. But they made the distinction between Lord's table and Lord's Supper, because Lord's table is for our enjoyment, not for our satisfaction. Please be careful. Don't use the word mixed up, okay? And Lord's Supper is for the Lord's satisfaction. It's not for our satisfaction. It is for our enjoyment. Even though this has been said many times before, but I think this morning the brothers sharing is very fresh and very new to you, so you find enjoying that, okay? But the thing is that still, in our responding, I enjoy this very much. You know, I haven't been staying for the second meeting. It has cost me quite a bit to stay here for all this long. But I wanted to see that how the saints respond. Actually, I'm very, very happy to see how the saints respond. But I must say that all those who share, we must enter into this burden, because the brothers, you know, how much effort they have put in to prepare for that. And I do believe the Lord is leading us into a new phase of the church life. I'm so happy these brothers can share in their capacity, in their particular way. And I think it is very refreshing to all of us. It certainly was refreshing to me. And I'm certainly happy to see all the saints responding. So, but my point is this. My point is that I hope that the Lord will be able to take us onward much more so than before, because these new faces and the new voices and their way of presenting the truth, which is not the first time you heard it, but I think it has that freshness. I'm so happy about it, okay? So that's why I want to emphasize this point, and particularly among those who show the verses, also emphasizing to strengthen this burden, strengthen the impression that the saints shared. And I must say that I'm so happy to hear Irene's testimony that the unforgiven offenses will do much harm to the body of Christ. I'm so happy that this morning that there is such an opportunity for the saints to share in this way. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us enjoy every Lord's Day, enjoy the Lord's Supper, as well as the Lord's table. Okay? But particularly so for the Lord's Supper. In order to enjoy the Lord's Supper, let us prove ourselves and discerning the body, so that God may be satisfied. And I do believe the Lord is really, to me, I feel the Lord is really happy about what came out this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you.
Amen.
Praise you for leading us trailblazing on.
Amen.
continue to expand our horizon. Amen. The church is moving on, Amen. Speedier and stronger. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, thank you for all your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, keep us under your cleansing blood.
Amen.